Victory in Jesus, a book. Make sure we get you one. Anybody need a book today? Everybody's got one? All right. Couple. David, can you make sure they got their hands up? Give them one. All right. Keep your hand up. David will give you a book as you come by. I mean, as he comes by. Everybody should have one. Going into chapter number 2, victory over temptation. Victory over temptation. But let's get started. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 are verses that we left you with. Thanks, David. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Those were the memory verses that we left you off with last time. Got James. You got 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 8 and 9. By the way, Peter, in 1 Peter, writing to Christians that had been going through some persecution and some suffering, telling them to continue holding out and holding on, and that God would bless. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Everybody there? Amen. All right. Amen. Let's go ahead and read those together. 1 Peter 5, 8, 9. We'll say the reference, then read them, then the reference. Here we go. 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9. Just encouragement to let you know that we do have an adversary. He's an opponent. He's against us. His name is the devil. His character traits are like a roaring lion. He is walking about. He's trying to devour you. He's trying to devour me. But he says, don't be surprised. You need to resist that, because the same thing's going on to the brethren that are around you. Amen. It's a universal thing. If you name the name of Christ, the devil is against you.
Yes, sir.
Sorry, but that's just it. Amen. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to trust God to work today. Father, thank you once again for your goodness in our lives. Thank you for the blessed word of God. But Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit as well, which continues to keep us safe as we follow the word of God. And Lord, even though Satan is out there as a roaring lion, we can oppose him, we can resist him, and we can be steadfast, Lord, in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that you've overcome the devil, you've overcome the world, and so we can stand fast as a result. Help us today, Lord, to do your bidding, do your will, as we look at this topic over temptation. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right. So Peter giving them the encouragement there. Notice verse number 10 says this: but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have, what's that first word? Suffered. How many of y'all take joy in suffering? I don't like suffering at all. I mean, I don't. After you've suffered a while, make you, what's that word? Perfect. That mean we're going to be sinless? What does that word perfect mean there? Rose? Mature. So after we've suffered for a while, he said, its design is to make us more mature. It's to establish us, or to give us a firmness. It is also to strengthen us, to make us stronger. And it's also to settle us. It's to keep us calm in adversity. Because when adversity comes, what's the normal thing that we want to do? Like a chicken with the head cut off. Run around. Amen. And get excited. And so the Bible says, you know what? When that happens, it's going to happen. But remember, the devil's behind it. Its design is, after you've gone through that tough time, to make you more mature, establish you, get you stronger, settle you down so you're more calm under adversity. One of the greatest things that you can be is calm under adversity. Football season starts today with the Indianapolis Colts and the Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad it wasn't Chicago and Green Bay. Even though it's preseason, I would be up in arms. And one of the things that I am not is settled when the Bears play. I want to jump out on the field and strangle the players and slap them around. You know, I want to do all sorts of things to them. And as a coach, you couldn't do that. So that's why I'm not a coach. And I am not settled when I watch the Bears. I'm thinking, why did you do that? Why did you drop that pass? Why did you miss this? And when the players come over to the sidelines, I see the coaches kind of patting them on the back. That's okay. That's okay. And I'm thinking, it's not okay. You're getting paid millions of dollars. You shouldn't drop any ball. But they're human. And so you can't say that. So the word of God's design and suffering's design is to make us settled, calm us down. So when adversity comes, we don't slap people around, amen, and do things that we know aren't right. And so when you look at what Peter is saying here, it is true. The topic of the matter today is temptation. So go over in your books to chapter number 2, Victory Over Temptation. And we're going to talk about that this morning, just give some introductory remarks, and then we will look at the book here a little bit more. If you've got your books, anybody else need a book? Amen. Notice it's giving you Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Of course, we know that's the temptation of Christ. It gives you an overview there and a theme. And then it's got the pattern of, and then three blanks, the power of, and the promise of, and a conclusion. Very, very short and simple, but it's going to be a lot more complex and longer than that, just because of the mere title, temptation. Before we get started with that, turn over to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, let's read those verses there. Luke 4, and of course, this is dealing with the devil trying to tempt our Lord Jesus Christ. And verses 1 through 13. And let's do this here. Let's give some folks a chance to read. Let me get someone to read verses 1 through 4, and then someone else to read 5 through 8, then someone else to read 9 through 13. Who wants to do 1 through 4? Okay, Linda, you 1 through 4. Rose, you 5 through 8. Who wants to do 9 through 13? Bev, 9 through 13. Okay, and again, this is the temptation of Christ. Go ahead. Linda, we'll start with you. Amen. Okay, so this is the temptation of Christ, if you would, and in regards to the devil offering him some things in exchange for some things. Notice in verse number 2, it says, in being 40 days, what's that word, tempted of the devil. Drop all the way down to verse number 13. When the devil had ended all the, what's that word, temptation, he departed for a season. You and I are going to be tempted every day of our lives. And once that temptation is over, what's going to come in its place sooner or later? Peace for a moment, but what's going to come after that temptation is gone and that peace comes in momentarily? What's going to come back again? Another temptation. Once again. Notice it says it left. The devil departed from him for a season. Now, we don't know when he came back, but obviously it was only a short time. You and I are going to be tempted every day of our lives. It's just going to happen. You say, well, I'll just stay in the bed all day. Well, then you're tempted to stay in the bed all day. Amen. Especially when you don't need to be there. Let's ask this question first of all before I give you the concordance definition. What is temptation? What is temptation?
Desire.
Desire, okay. Mm-hmm. What else? What is temptation? Brother Shirk?
Well, I think in this instance,
it's
a solicitation to do evil.
Solicitation to do evil, okay. Rose?
Lust,
okay. Temptation. What is temptation? Desire, lust, solicitation to evil. And all these are good. What else? What is temptation? When you think about temptation, what is that? We say enticement. 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 Yes, Andrea? Something that you don't need or something you shouldn't do. Okay, all these are good. Linda?
I think something that tries to draw you away from God.
Somebody tries to draw you away from God. Amen. Anything else? What is temptation?
Is that?
Desire to follow the flesh. Amen. Amen.
That's good.
Temptation. Rose? It might be rebellion. Temptation. I mean, when my mom asked me to give her the candy when I was a kid, and I said no. A, it wasn't smart. B, it was disobedience. And C, it was rebellion. I was tempted. And I did it. And I have the marks to prove it. I did not do it again. I learned my lesson. Temptation. What is temptation? What is temptation? Jess?
Desire to do something wrong or unwise.
Desire to do something wise or unwrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What else? Temptation. Temptation. Anybody else input on that? Temptation. What is temptation? Are we all tempted?
Yes, we are.
Are we all tempted every day?
Oh, yes.
Amazingly, the concordance definition says this, a putting to proof. A putting to proof. Then it says this, by experiment of good or experience of evil. You get that? A putting to proof or to prove by experiment of good or experience of evil. It's also a solicitation, a discipline or a provocation. So in other words, it can be a temptation to do evil, but it can be a test to pull out the good. Yes.
And I like that better.
We would say test, but the Bible uses the same word to demonstrate both. The context normally tells you what it is. I believe it is in Genesis when it came to sacrificing Isaac. I believe the word they used was God did tempt Abraham. Mm-hmm. Is he going to tempt Abraham to do something evil? No, he's actually testing him. So the word temptation actually can come with both connotations depending upon the context will determine what's actually going on. By the way, temptation can be testing by God to help us stand like Job. I'm reading through the book of Job right now. Mm-hmm. Is Job being tempted to do evil? No. He's being tested. Now, on Satan's part, what is Satan trying to do? He's trying to bait him into doing evil. To say, God, you're unfair and you shouldn't have taken everything from me. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away.
That's right, Pastor.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so God is tempted. God said, hey, have you seen my servant Job? Satan said, I seen him. You take everything he's got, he's going to curse you to your face. And he did it. And he didn't. Satan came back and said, all right, another test. Let me touch his bone. He said, let me make him sick. And I guarantee you, he'll curse you. How many of y'all get mad when you get sick?
Ooh.
We don't curse God, but we do get mad because we don't want to be sick. Amen.
That's right.
Job didn't curse God. So temptation can be testing by God to help us stand like Job. And God tests us to bring out the good in us or to trust him more for our good and his glory. Temptation can be tempting by Satan to do evil to see us fall. And this is what he's trying to do here in Luke 4 and verses 1 through 13 to get Jesus to fall. Satan tempts us to try to bring out the bad in us. Now, the temptation that's going on here, is that for Christ's sake or is it for God's sake? Is that so that God could prove to Jesus that Jesus wouldn't fall? No. Was it to God, to prove to God that Jesus wouldn't fall? No, because Jesus is God and he's not going to fall. Who is it proving to? To us.
Yep.
And also to who else? Satan.
That's right.
Satan.
That's right.
Now, what is unique about this temptation of Jesus? What is unique about this temptation? There's something unique about this that Satan is trying to capitalize on. That is you that we have as well. Yes.
I was going to say, if he can do it, we can do it
through
his power.
Yeah, well, that's true to a sense. Yeah, but see. This is true, and you're on the right track. This is true. What is it that he's trying to capitalize on?
His fleshly needs, or his body needs.
And you almost got it down. Sir, you can say something, sir? This is true, and all that's true, but there's a commonality between that, what he's trying to capitalize on, and what he capitalizes on when it comes to you and I.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And that's true. But what is it about Jesus that is so unique that we have that same quality? Yes. Yes, and that's encompassed in one word. Yes. That's the other side of what I'm trying to bring out. His humanity. Jesus is 100% God here, but he's also 100% man. And Satan is not going to attack the God part of him because he knows that's a losing battle. What he's trying to attack here is the humanity side of him, the human side, that 100% man of him that gets hungry, that does want to get this glory in the kingdoms. He's trying to capitalize on that. The same things that you and I would want. And he knows, as you said, that he's weak, his flesh and all the. He knows that. So he's going to capitalize on that. When it comes to temptation between you and I, you know what he's going to capitalize on? Your humanity. He doesn't want to attack the Spirit of God in you because he knows he can't win against the Spirit of God.
Right.
So he wants to attack your humanity or your, the F word, flesh.
Flesh, that's right.
He wants to attack your flesh because he knows the spirit of you is not going to bend, break, or bow. But the flesh in you is weak. It's weak. In the military, when we were overseas, they had the all military commercials. And I remember this one that said, don't shop when you're hungry. Don't shop when you're hungry. No, no, no. And they had a little jingle that went with it, you know. And it would come on. And I didn't give it any mind until I went to the store one time and I started getting, you know, hungry. And everything I saw, I wanted to buy. And I thought, that's what they're talking about. That's what Satan wants to do with you. He wants to capitalize on your flesh. Amen. So Satan tempts us to bring out the bad in us. Merriam-Webster says this about the word temptation. A strong urge or desire to have or do something. Something that causes a strong urge or desire to have or do something, and especially something that is bad, wrong, or unwise. They never look at the other side of that. They always look at the negative side. Synonyms are allurement, enticement, as Brother Sarah said, allure or seduction that some of you said. Now, here is the key question. Is temptation sin?
No.
No. If it were sin, then what would that say about Jesus Christ? He's a sinner.
Yes, sir.
Temptation is not sin. Jesus was tempted. Go over to notice this. It says down there, verse 3, if the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it may be made bread. Mm-hmm. That's a temptation. He said, look, if you're really God, then why don't you do this? Matthew is the same account. Go over to Matthew chapter 4. Hold your finger there. Matthew chapter 4, the same account, just in the parallel gospel, Matthew 4. In Matthew chapter number 4, same thing. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And notice verse number 6, same thing. And saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hand they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. So the same basic connotation there. The solicitation to the evil is not the sin. We're tempted every day and tested every day as well. We're tempted to do evil, but we're also tested to do good. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. We are. By the way, just getting up on a Sunday morning, you're going to be tempted in many ways. Your kids are going to tempt you, and your kids are going to test you. Your clothes are going to maybe test you. Driving may test you. I mean, there's a lot of things that can test you and tempt you on the way into church alone. By the way, some are tempted even right now in the Sunday school hour. Some are tempted to stay awake.
Mm-hmm.
Some are falling asleep. It's a flesh thing.
Yep.
Now just face it. It's a flesh thing. Everybody has that. I mean, so it's not something to be. It's a flesh thing. Our flesh is weak. Our flesh is tired.
Yep.
By the way, your flesh and my flesh does not want to hear anything spiritual. Can I give that to y'all?
Yes.
And so because your flesh doesn't want to hear anything spiritual, it will go against it. And it will give you everything instead of it. Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Some are tempted to stay awake. Some are tempted to pay attention. Some are tempted to focus on the lesson. Some are tempted to clear your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You're thinking about tomorrow. You're thinking about this afternoon. Some ladies think about what I'm going to cook. Some folks got to go to work. Some folks got to go to work tomorrow.
Yes.
Some folks think about I got a deadline for the boss. And you're tempted to think about all those things. Am I right? What are the kids going to wear tonight? I mean, we got a graduation tonight. We got to decorate. What time is Pastor going to get done with the morning service so I can get done with that? Amen. There's so many things that crowd in.
Yep.
Case in point, on the way to my kids got some new library books yesterday. And they're excited about the library books. And they bought them in the car this morning. And I see them in the back reading their library books. I said, hey, what are you guys doing? They said, reading the library books. I said, let's not read the library books today. Let's wait till after church. And of course, you know, the obvious question after they put them away was what?
Why?
Why did I tell them to put their library books away on the way to church this morning? Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted them to concentrate on the Lord, and I began to elaborate unto them why, and they weren't catching it. And I said, well, let me give it to you the way you can understand. I said, let's suppose Joshua's my sweet eater in the house. I said, let's just suppose I sit Joshua down to dinner. He's got some soda or some Kool-Aid. He's got some dessert, and he's got a salad, and he's got some beans or whatnot. I said, and I let Joshua eat the dessert, and I let Joshua have the soda and the sweet stuff, and then I save the salad and the green beans for last. I said, is Joshua going to want that? Of course, Joshua, with a big nod, said, yeah. I said, no, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. I said, what's your appetite going to be like? You're going to want more sweets and more sweets and more sweets. I said, what are you not going to want to eat? Not going to want to eat the vegetables and the salad.
Right.
I said, when you start giving your mind things before church that are not godly and aren't spiritual, you know what's going to happen? I said, when you get to church, you're not going to hear spiritual things.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought, oh. So that's why Joshua has to eat his other stuff first. Uh-huh. Now we get why you don't want us to read the books. And so it is when you come into the house of God. You want to do everything in your power to get your mind already trained and focused on spiritual things, whether by spiritual music, reading something spiritual in the morning. By all means, try not to turn on the news. That'll get you discouraged quicker than you can shake a stick. Amen. I mean, you start hearing all kind of bad stuff. You're thinking, oh no, Lord, it's terrible. Amen. Turn on some good gospel music. Read a good gospel, something of the Bible, something. Meditate on something good. And so by the time you get here, you'll want to hear what God has to say, because now I'm already filling my appetite with something that's spiritual. But when you fill it with something that's not spiritual, the inclination is going to be to want non-spiritual things again. And so it is with temptation here. We're being the Lord is being tempted here in Luke chapter number 4 by the devil. But he's proving to him that he is God. And so he's not going to do that. By the way, yielding to temptation is sin. How many of y'all know that song, Yield Not to Temptation? Amen. I got a copy of that. I'm going to let you guys have that here. And this was one of our hymns of the month here before. Here you go, Jeff. Gary, take one of those. Pass those out for me. And very, very good song. Pass those back. Yield not to, it's not in our hymn book right now. That's why I had to make a copy out of one of the other hymn books. While he's passing that around, turn over to James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. Got Hebrews, you got James. James chapter number 1. We're going to be down in verse number 13. All right. Everybody got a copy of that? Now everybody's got a copy. All right. Now, in James chapter 1 and verse number 13, matter of fact, back it up to verse number 12. Because James here, his whole book is dealing with trials that they're going through. Notice verse number 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers. What is that? Temptations, okay, that's tough times and difficulties that seem to be in our lives. Then he talks about dealing with those by asking God in prayer. And he says in verse number 12, blessed is the man that endureth what? Temptation, for when he is, what's that word? Tried or tested, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Notice this, but let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. Okay, everybody see that? Okay, now hold your finger there and go over to Genesis chapter 22. And I want to show you why I say that the same word temptation can be used to test you or to get you to do something evil. It says there, clear as a bell there, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted of evil. Genesis chapter 22, notice verse number 1. Who's got that? Can read verse number 1. Stephen? Okay, so tempt. So now the Bible says in James that, okay, don't let anybody say when he's tempted of God. But doesn't it say that he's tempted here in Genesis? So now you see the dual meaning of the word temptation. It's going to be to test you to stand for God or to get you to do evil. Over here in Genesis, it is not to do evil. It is to test him to see the good that's going to come out of it, to prove, to trust God all the way. And that's what God does. So go back over to James. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with what? Evil, neither tempteth he any man. You say, well, to kill Isaac is evil. Not at God's request, it's not. Because God knew that he wasn't going to have him do it. But every man is, what's that word? Tempted when he is drawn away of his own. I heard somebody say this before. What's that word? Lust. And what's that word? Enticed. I heard someone say enticements. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth, what is that word? Sin. And sin when it bringeth forth, what is that word? Death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. What did Satan do in the garden? He tempted Eve.
Yes, sir.
And he said, hey, has God said you should eat of this tree? God does know if you do X, Y, and Z, this is what's going to happen. What did Eve do? She fell. She ate. And what was the end result? She died spiritually and she died physically. So he says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Now, notice the words of this song. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. What does that mean? Each victory will help you some other to win. Each victory will help you some other to win. What does that mean? Think about the book, Victory in Jesus. Yes. Amen. I can say, you know, God got me through this last time. He'll get me through this time. First time when I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to stop drinking. I need you to give me the power to say no. The first drink I turned down gave me power to say no to the next drink. And 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 that's not even an issue. God's already given me the victory over that. Okay. So each victory will help you some other to win. Fight manfully onward. Dark passions subdue. What does that mean? Dark passions subdue. Dark passions subdue. Dark passions subdue. All the evil things you want to do. Mm-hmm. How many of y'all know about Star Wars?
Oh, yeah.
Normally it's the dark side against the light side, basically.
Yeah, it is, Pastor.
Come to the dark side. Dark passions subdue. It is that which is sinful, that which is dark. It is that which is no good. He says, look, you need to put that to wraps. The only way I can do that is by getting more of the word of God in to subdue it and put it under. Then he says down there, look ever to Jesus. He will carry you through. We'll talk a little bit more about this next week. Go ahead and fold that up. Keep that. Put that in your book. We're going to talk a little bit more about this song next week. Yield not to temptation. The thing that I want us to understand today is, what is temptation? It can be a test to do good by God. It can be temptation of the devil to get you to do evil. And only the context will tell you which one it is. This week's memory verse, I want us to meditate on Luke chapter 4 and verse 4. Luke 4 and verse 4. And that's when it says, man shall not live by bread alone, by every word of God. Luke 4:4 is going to be our meditation for this week. Amen. I want you and I to understand that it says, and Jesus answered, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. You and I are going to have to answer Satan with the word of God to defeat him when temptation comes. Because that's what Jesus did. Did Jesus put up his dukes and fight Satan blow to blow, man to man? No, he fought him word of God to word of the devil. And which one's going to win? The word of God. Yes, ma'am.
I was just going to say, too, it just reminded me that when they took Jesus, they took him at night. And even when they took him at night, if I remember correctly, it said that they still had to bow down to him, even though it was in the dark.
Well, actually, they fell down.
Yeah.
You said bow down.
Oh, bow, yeah.
Bow, fall. One is voluntary, one is not. Amen. 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 So keep that in mind. Temptation has a dual meaning, and context is going to tell you which meaning is to apply, whether it's something that the Satan is trying to get you to do or something that God is trying to strengthen you in. Temptation, same word. Amen. Let's pray. Luke 4:4 is going to be our memory verse for the week. Amen. Father, help us this week. We will be tempted in the next hour. We'll be tempted in the next moments, Lord. We're going to be tempted to have so many things to crowd our mind to not listen to the service this morning. I pray that we would not yield to the temptation, but Lord, we would give our minds wholly over to you and do everything in our power, then giving you the glory and the victory through the word of God to get our minds focused and fixed on thee. Same afflictions are accomplished in our brethren that are in the world, Lord. So help us today as we understand that we are not going to live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Thank you so much for your word. Help us today. Bless refreshments next door in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right. You are.